Well, that leads to one thing I was wanting to talk a little bit about, rhymed verse and all. And you mentioned Beck during the workshop this afternoon. Yeah. What do you think of rap?
Well, actually, it's a very ancient tradition. It goes back to the old griot, G-R-I-O-T, in Africa, which involved boasting, warriors boasting their prowess, sexual boasting as well, and also a sort of social commentary, village commentary. Then in America, because those African rituals were forbidden, the role of the griot or the shaman, poet, went over to the preacher. And then the whites took the image of the preacher and made it into a vaudeville blackface number. And then the poet James Weldon Johnson, in his great poem Seven Negro Sermons, returned the preacher image to respectability. And then the poets like Amiri Baraka, Leroy Jones, carry that on in a sort of democratic political tradition, the exhortation to blacks to reclaim their heritage and to reclaim their rights. But meanwhile, there's the parallel tradition of the signifying monkey, or, said the monkey to the tiger one fine sunny day, your mama's blank is stinky and your father's blank is fey. You know that rhyme?
Yeah.
The signifying monkey, or rapping and styling out deep down in the jungle, so to speak. That's the early form of rap in America, and that's an old tradition. And the tradition is you, with hyperbole and exaggeration, insult the, make sexual insults to the parents of your rival, and whoever gets mad loses the game. So it seems to me that probably the whites have lost the game in rap because they got mad over pure words and thoughts, when the words and thoughts were intentionally hyperbolic and exaggerated, part of the tradition of exaggerated humor of rhyme. You know, the boasting and all that. Warrior boasting, going back to the warrior boasting. So it's an old tradition.
Yeah. Now, rap is now getting, a lot of censorship issues are coming up about rap, of course. Yeah. You're no stranger to censorship.
No, well, my own poetry is censored on the air. So you know what the censorship is for the air. It's Senator Jesse Helms, that old windbag, who's main legislative lobbyist and pusher for the killer drug tobacco, funded by the other killer drug alcohol, has introduced a law, 1998, into Congress, signed by Reagan, directing the Federal Communications Commission to censor all so-called indecent, unquote, undefined indecent language on the air 24 hours a day. So a bunch of us got together with a pen club, poets, essayists, novelists, meaning Norman Mailer, Susan Sontag, Kurt Vonnegut, William Burroughs, and others, and with the poet McClure, Michael, who's been traveling with Ray Manzarek, the pianist for The Doors, and a young lady poet from New York, Eileen Miles, and myself, along with the American Civil Liberties Union, Pacifica Stations, a network of listener-supported stations, and sued the FCC up to the Supreme Court. And we won. So that the 24-hour-a-day ban was knocked down to a ban from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And just recently, the FCC asked for a review of that, and were denied by a three-panel appeals court judges in Washington. So then the FCC appealed to the full court. So 2 Wednesdays ago, full court convened to hear arguments on both sides. And I was asked by Rabinowitz and Boudin, the lawyers, to come that day to the court at 9 a.m. and on the steps read Howl, my poem, complete. A poem which is in, most anthologies. But most of my poetry, which is in conventional anthologies, Norton Anthology, Oxford, Sunflower Sutra, poem, America, Howl, would be banned from being broadcast during the day when students are rereading them in schools in their anthologies. And the purpose of the ban was to protect the ears of minors, which would redefine to be 18 years old. Who was there? Who was there?
Oh.
Who was there?
Oh, it was a band of yours.
Yeah.
And he was trying to...
Well, let him come in.
Oh.
What's wrong? Let him come in. Let him come in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, did you read it?
This is not a big secret.
Did you read Hal Ent's entirety?
Yes, I read it beginning to end, and it was recorded by Reuters, and I think CNN. I'm not quite sure. So fragments have come around in the newspapers. Associated Press recorded it, I think.
Yeah. So why did you want to... Well, obviously, that's got a big history of being censored.
Yeah, little history. Actually, it was declared not obscene long time ago, 1957. The come in and sit down. The police made the mistake of advertising the book by trying to seize it. And so, therefore, what would have been just a sort of esoteric, charming lavender volume of poetry printed in a couple hundred copies then began selling like hotcakes. So I have to thank the police for advertising the book.
It's kind of like the censorship issue, putting the stickers on the album, which some say helped sales even more with Rafferty.
Sure, yeah. And people want to go for what the government doesn't want them to hear, naturally, because once they realize the government doesn't want them to hear something, they know it has something to do with criticizing the government, ultimately, or the state of consciousness of the nation and breaking the conventions that may sometimes be artificial and repressive. And certainly rap, for the most part, is complaining about the repression of black society in America and the persecution of blacks. Like I think there's 1,400,000 people in jail right now. It's the second largest number for any country in the world except Russia. 80% of them are black. So the blacks have something to rap about.
Yeah. With the censorship of this, do you think the whole thing is getting worse? Or?
Well, to the extent that the theopolitical televangelists, mind controllers, continue their attempts at censorship, just like Joseph Stalin, with the same Stalinoid rhetoric, i.e., why should the elite, individualistic, dirty artists be subsidized by taxpayers' money? That was exactly Stalin's party line. Or why should degenerate art be allowed? It was Hitler's party line. Or why should art which contains spiritual corruption be allowed on the airwaves? That was Mao Zedong's party line. As long as those right-wing authoritarians attempt to enforce their mind control on America, it's going to be a problem. And depending on this election, we may see more and more mind control on the part of the right wing. You know, the right wing invented this this accusation of political correctness to lay on the left. The left had used political correctness as a mockery of themselves and as a, like a joke to indicate people going too extreme. The right wing seized on it like a big stick of bologna to hit the left on the head, but it's the right wing that's enforced political correctness on the National Endowment for the Arts or even the main marketplace of ideas, radio and television, by insisting on controlling and censoring what can be said. The problem with political correctness was that it meant censorship. But the right wing has done the legal censorship. That law is Jesse Helms, backed by Pat Robertson and all the televangelists' fundraisers.